When we were younger, we thought everyone was on our side. Then we grew.
You are listening to Stranger Than. This is the McGill Daily and CKET collaboration. The words you're about to hear are from Brittany Tallarico. The voice is Stephanie Armour.
It takes a boy to live, takes a man to pretend he was there. So then we grew a little and knew a lot. And now we demonstrated it to the cops and all the things we said. We were self-assured. Cause it's a long road.
From now on, I choose to follow my heart rather than my mind, were the words I promised myself 2 years ago, jumping on a plane to Southeast Asia. There it was, the adventure of discovery I was wishing for, the year I would be young, wild, and free. On a random October night, celebrating the full moon party on the island of Koh Phangan, Thailand, my life was about to change forever. Barefoot in the sand, dazed off one too many vodka Red Bull buckets, the crowd seemed no longer there the moment a pair of blue eyes locked with mine. Approaching, we exchanged names. As he yelled over the music, "I like the flowers in your hair." Taking my hand, we rushed to a nearby alcohol stand, asking a Thai woman for a piece of cardboard. "Here, take my email. I need to see you again." And rushed off to his boat. "Get a grip," I repeated to myself for hours the morning after. "You met him for 30 minutes. You live in Canada. He lives in England. You go home in a week. Just stop thinking about him. Like right now." As expected, returning home had me mighty depressed. Although, to be honest, the repercussions were much more dramatic than that which I had imagined. It's unimaginable how drastically your life can change just by taking one flight. I was numb. From seeing sunsets every evening to exchanging smiles and hand gestures as words, I returned to being in cold, isolated darkness, not thinking clear, being trapped indoors rather than breathing the fresh air. And then, there it was, an email from him. "Hi, it's Chris. We met at the full moon party. Wild night, huh?" The word relationship hadn't held much meaning to me. It was the last thing on the long list of things I was searching for. But traveling alone for 13 months made me question myself. Whispering to the moon, "I'm ready," the desire for a significant other started to grow. I wanted to be taken care of. I'd already proven I was capable of being on my own. We spent 6 months writing romantic emails, having racy Skype dates, and sending each other songs representing how we felt about each other. It was cheesy, but for the first time in my life, I felt like I'd found love. Yes, real love. After two serious relationships, plenty of exotic hookups, I was certain that he was the next, and hopefully last, great love. My mother's immediate reaction was, "What? You just got back from a year of travelling. Now you're hopping on a plane to England to chase a guy?" "Yes, Mum. This was different. No one could stop me. I'm buying a ticket to the motherland." Shaking her head in disapproval, "Be careful," was the last words out of the car. So there I was, at Manchester Terminal, butterflies in my throat, endlessly searching for those same pair of blue eyes. And we will live happily ever after, right? No, not quite. I was lost. Chris was the person that was sent to help me. My life in Canada post-travels was difficult and uncomfortable much of the time. He was my escape. He centered me, made me laugh, put up with my venting, and still wanted me when I was done. He was the reason why I woke up feeling beautiful. He connected me to my travels. I made sure to thank him for this. I told him that he had me feeling grateful, to trust the universe, that he had taught me to reopen my heart to the vulnerability of passion. Here I am, 5 months later, still looking back as if it were only just a dream. I'm glad I followed my heart, to feel something so overwhelmingly powerful, something to cross oceans for, to believe in love at first sight. He's also just a guy I met on a random night.
To be in my eyes.